You are listening to The Drowned by David Arrowsmith and Christina Gustafsson. Read by me, Roger Weeks. Published by Ewaldsgården Förlag, Sweden. Chapter 1. His first thought is that she must be dead. No way that she'd be lying out in the snow this early in the morning by choice. The sun is barely up and it is still bitterly cold. A multitude of frozen crystals glistening in the light-kissed patches of bright white. She is half in, half out of the light, her body lying across a dark bar of shadow cast by one of the giant pines. The scene would have been magical, should have been the start to the day he needed. But the presence of the girl changed everything. With a flick of the wrist, he tosses his coffee out onto the pristine snow as he takes one last deep pull from the hand-rolled cigarette and crushes it out on the porch handrail. He feels a worrying twinge in his back as he stoops to pick up his winter boots from the corner where they have sat, unused, for rather too long. He pulls them on and steps down into the snow, silently cursing himself for not clearing the path for so long. He forces himself not to run. No need, given she is almost certainly dead. His brisk, long-legged stride propels him along deceptively fast. But as he steps off the hidden path, he sinks, knee-deep, into the verging powder. Well, he's certainly wide awake now. She is on her back, small and light enough not to have sunk too far down into the snow. Only a thin dusting covering her, a veil that merely blurs rather than disguises her appearance. The snow has partially melted around her, then refrozen in larger, smoother, icy crystals. For a second he just stands and looks at her, her elfin beauty like something from Arthurian legend. That is his second thought, a fleeting fancy that she is Guinevere. Closely followed and obliterated by his third, that he is old enough to be her grandfather and no King Arthur. You've been reading too much. Her chest moves, only a fraction. It would have been imperceptible if it hadn't triggered a tiny avalanche of snow that cascades from the thin, zipped-up hoodie that is her woefully inadequate protection from the elements. The snow cleared from her face, her chest, with one tender sweep of his forearm. He breathes air smoothly into her lungs and pushes down on her ribcage. He keeps going, the training taking over, a trance-like state descending over him, somehow keeping him calm despite this shocking intrusion into the cocoon he had built for himself. He can feel the sun on his neck now. A pleasant warmth that brings a slow, creeping smile to his face and a softening sparkle to his eyes. Something about this place is indeed magical. And then the cough. The ugly, beautiful cough of a body's internal engine spluttering back to life. Wild-eyed, vomiting up great mouthfuls of what seems to be dirty water, she starts to sit up. But he hugs her gently to his chest and lowers her back down to the snow with a whispered hush in her ear, as if he is putting a baby down to sleep. She's weak enough to allow it, and he shushes reassuringly as he feels around her skull and neck for the hot bumps of major swelling, the sharp points of bone marking a compound fracture, or the rough, sticky patches of congealed blood from an open wound. Nothing. Just wet clothes, wet skin, wet hair. She's cold, but not as icy as he had feared. Her fingers are blue and bring him out in goosebumps where they trail against his bare skin. He can just about sense a gentle warmth, still preserved deep in her core as he gathers her up in his arms and gently holds her limp form to his chest. He wades back through the snow, doing his best to retrace his steps and plant his feet back.